sizes and things that that Leah's worked hard to provide. Come anytime between 1 and 4 today, and come and stay a while, and we can meet you and welcome you into our home. 1904 Channel Street in North Bend, so hope to see you there and stop by for a little bit and have a snack, and we'd love to get to know you a little more in the comforts of our house. We sure are blessed to be here. People have asked me if, you know, have enjoyed the Oregon weather at its finest this weekend, and we sure have. We have not missed it the last 9 years that we've been gone. Every time we've had a cloudy day or a rainy day, we call it our Oregon days. And people in Oklahoma, and we were, yay, it's raining. And they said, you're weird. I said, yeah, we need to go back to Oregon where it's a little weird. And but we love our rain. It was great to be at the football game when the rain came down really heavily before the lightning. The fans just screamed out, and the players screamed out. And then when the lightning hit, we all screamed out. And then they said, get out. And so we took cover, and we're glad that things turned out well that way. In this series, we've heard the promises of God, Him saying, I am, and giving some descriptors of who He is. Him saying, I am with you. Him saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I will give you rest. And we heard last week of the people's response as Joshua was coming to the end of his days and giving the command and the covenant back over to them again. And as we all kind of got a chance to respond and renew our covenant in that way again, and of saying, yes, we will serve the Lord. And we will serve the Lord even in the face of foreign gods. And the command was to throw down our idols, to deny ourselves and to serve the Lord. The command to the Israelites and the command to us today is, even in the land of plenty, we will know that it is the Lord and only the Lord God whom we serve. But Joshua knew better. Joshua knew better. When they first said, yes, we will serve the Lord, he knew better. And he said, no, you won't. And they said, no, yes, we will. But as things go on, he was right. It's hard to stay faithful. It's hard to stay obedient to God. It's hard to keep that covenant. Hard to keep our eyes on the Lord. Despite the spoken word, despite saying we will serve the Lord, despite writing it down for all to see, despite a witness of people and a stone or a chalkboard, Joshua knew better. And the Lord's people did what Joshua had feared. In Judges 2, 19 through 12, it says, they forsook the Lord God and their fathers who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them. They provoked the Lord to anger because they forsook Him and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. In His anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. And whenever Israel went out to fight, the hand of the Lord was against them to defeat them, just as He had sworn to them. They were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshipped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies. As long as the judge lived, the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. But when the judge died, the people returned to their ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods, serving and worshiping them. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. See, Joshua turns the next book to the book of Judges, where the Judges records men and women who were God's people to deliver the people out of their wicked ways and back to the Lord. But there's this constant falling towards God and falling away from God that we see throughout God's people and throughout the book of Judges. Two predominant commands and warnings that were given to them were constantly broken, and they were big enough commands that they were powerful enough to take people's hearts away from God. The one that says, throw away your gods. You know, when the people said, yes, we will serve the Lord, He said, no, you won't. And they said, yes, we will. Okay, then throw away your gods. Because they knew that the gods of the people in the land were powerful enough, the influence would be great enough to turn your hearts away. The life and the practices of the people in Canaan we're turning the people's hearts away from God. And the second big warning and command is do not intermarry. Do not choose a husband or a wife outside of God's people. Joshua warned against intermarrying with men and women in these foreign lands. And if he wasn't the first one to say it, God's the one who gave this to Moses. And Moses in Exodus 34 said, when God drives out the people from the land of Canaan, do not make a treaty with them. Break down the altars, smash the idols, and do not intermarry, because they will lead you away. And Moses again repeats this in Deuteronomy, and in the speeches that are recorded, again the same warnings. The people did not complete the conquest. They did not drive out all the gods. They didn't drive out all those who were against God's people, and they began to intermarry. It's no wonder that these warnings were given, because what was feared happened. The Israelites turned to other gods. The Israelites intermarried and further turned their hearts away from Yahweh. But in the middle of this book of Judges, the stories of Judges, it's not in the middle here. It's another book at the end. But where this happens is kind of in the middle of this time of the Judges, of God raising up men and women to lead the people back to God. And when they die, they turn away from God. A new judge comes up. But in the middle of this story of the Judges, we get a story of an ordinary, off the beaten path family that moves from Canaan to the land of Moab. It may be difficult for some of us to relate to some of the big names in the Bible, the big stories of Abraham and Moses, Joshua or Gideon, Samson or Deborah. But the authors and collectors of the Old Testament included a beautiful short story of a faithful Israelite family, who in spite of all the turning away, in spite of all the people, the majority of the people following other gods and breaking the covenant, they kept their commitment to God. This is a story of a family who said, no, we will serve the Lord. There's a story of Ruth. If you want to turn your Bibles to Ruth chapter 1, we're going to read the first 18 verses of this story. Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi. And the names of the two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephronites from Bethlehem, Judah. And they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two sons, without her two sons and without her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown your deal to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find a rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you and your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, and even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it's more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. At this they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Naomi replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Ruth chooses a covenantal response. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. And my question from this is, what did Naomi do that led Ruth to choose this new life? What did she do? You could rewrite the title of this book and call it Naomi. This is really Naomi's story as much as it is Ruth's. But what did she do? See, there was a famine in the land of Judah where they lived. They were in Canaan land. They were staying in their country. And the land where Elimelech and his wife Naomi lived, and they had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. The land of the Israelites where everyone was serving, or the majority of the people were focused on serving Yahweh. The land that they were freely lived in, where they lived out their love and their faith and their obedience. The land where they were called to be. The land that was a perfect place for their sons to find wives that were not foreign, that were not outside. A land that did not, in the majority of the sense, did not worship other gods, were focused on Yahweh. In a land that would not take their attention off of Yahweh. But they hear about food in Moab. They're in a famine. They have no food, but they hear there's food in that other land. And even though it's not favorable for them to go to a land outside of the land God said stay in, they go. In the land of Moab, tragedy strikes, and it strikes hard. Strike one, Elimelech dies. Naomi's husband passes away. Strike two, Naomi's sons intermarry. They marry the Moabite women, the ones that they knew, yes, it's not favorable to marry outside of God's people. Strike three, 10 years later, her sons die. Naomi then hears about the Lord providing food back in her homeland, back in the land of Judah. And she begins to return. And her daughter-in-laws are faithful to her. They stayed with her. Naomi shows love and kindness. She blesses them. And she encourages them, hey, stay here. Go find another husband. Stay here with your people. Orpah and Ruth respond, no. We will go back with you to your people. And Naomi shows love and kindness again and pleads for them. No, return home. Find a husband. Start a family. And they weep and cry. And Orpah decides to stay and return to her people and to her gods. While Ruth, she clings to Naomi. And she says, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. What did Naomi do that led Ruth to choose the Lord? Well, first I see that Naomi loved them as they were. She loved them as they were. She loved them. Her sons had married Moabites, those that were outside of the Lord's people. But she loved them and she knew it and they felt that love for her. Look at how they clung to her. Look at how faithful they were to her in the tragedy of the loss of her husband and of her sons. And they stayed with her. And the only reason they would have stayed with her if that love was sincere, that love was true. And look how they kissed and they wept. And look how they struggled about the idea of being apart from her. I mean, you don't have a hard time departing from someone who doesn't love you. I mean, if she never showed love and kindness to these daughters-in-laws, when their husbands die, see you later. I'm out of here. But they loved her and wanted to stay with her. And look how she looked out for their interest. I mean, how nice would it have been for these daughters to stay with her and help her through her life. But she's like, no, I don't see this as what's best for you. Love is that. Love is what's the best for you at no return to me. And so she loved them and looked for their interest, and she was committed to them. And she was committed to them, and I think out of her love, she was saying, you belong to me. You belong to me. In her love, she was saying that, and they felt that, and they showed that. They stayed with her. As you are, regardless of your idol worshiping, regardless of your foreign way of living, I love you as you are. As you are, regardless of the fear of you being united with my sons and of what could happen And what I've seen happen to my other friends and families, when their sons and their daughters have gone away and they've married others outside of the Lord's people, I love you as you are. Saying, I love you and you belong to me. And second, I see that Naomi stayed faithful to the Lord in how she lived. She stayed faithful. In her daily devotion in life, she was steadfast towards her husband and her sons and her daughter-in-laws and all the people. In spite of the famine, they were in their land of Canaan. They were in the place they were supposed to be. But even in the spite of the famine, of loss of food, she doesn't run away. She doesn't give up. She stays faithful. In spite of the tragedy of losing her husband, and then the tragedy of her sons marrying outside, and then the loss of her own sons, she trusts in the Lord. Naomi lived a different way. She walked a different path, and she lived that God-following life that was unknown and unfamiliar to Orpha and Ruth. See, they were in the land of Moab. They didn't know of God. They weren't raised knowing about Yahweh or God, or that He was the only one and true God. And how else would they know? Naomi lives it out in front of them. She lived it out in front of them and invited them in to live it with her. I mean, did you hear the dependency on the Lord that she has? In the spite of all this loss and in the blessings that she says, may the Lord. A Lord that I want you to know, but you don't know yet. And I know you weren't raised knowing this Lord. But may the Lord, Yahweh, show you kindness. May Yahweh grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Look at how she blessed them. Look at how she cared for them. Look at how deep-seated unity that Orpha and Ruth felt to her. Having been accepted as her people, I believe by her living out her faith in front of them, her love of God in front of them, her obedience to God despite all the suffering, she was saying, you belong to me and you belong to my people. You are me. You are my people. And they lived in this community. I mean, the husbands had been passed for 10 years. That's a long time to live together with someone. That's a lot. You've gone beyond you belong to me 10 years of life. You have become a community. You have become a people. You belong to me. And she showed her service to the Lord, to her and her sons, and modeled by their father. So she stayed faithful to the Lord in how she lived with them together as her people in the community that they lived in. Third, I don't see that Naomi required their conversion to Judaism before she invited them into a relationship with her and to her community and to her God. As a devout follower of God, she understood that God's desire for all people to come under the lordship of God. She understood that, and that was her desire. It was the mission of God's people to proclaim among the nations that Jehovah Yahweh alone was God. That was understood. She desired for them to accept the Lord's invitation, yes, to become one of His people. But that was not a prerequisite for showing love. There was no condition to the love she showed here. For someone outside the people of God, they could become citizens of God's people. They could be a part of that if they would choose to not blaspheme and not indulge in idolatry or not commit acts of indecency or not work on the Sabbath and abide by the other laws. And it was welcomed if someone decided, yes, I do want to become a part of God's people. I do want to become a Jew, an Israelite. I do want to come under that covenant, to obey the covenant by being circumcised and binding themselves to the law. Yes, it was welcome for that. Except for the Moabites. And the Ammonites say, what? This is for all people. Well, there's a little history here with the land of Moab. A little history with the people of the Ammonites and the Moabites. They were strictly excluded at this time to the 10th generation because of their unfriendliness they showed to the Israelites when they left Egypt. See, when the Israelites were set free from captivity of Egypt and they were starting to make their way to Canaan and started entering into the desert, they were people on the move without food. And Moabs and the Ammonites didn't help them, didn't provide them any food. And at that time, so God said, fine, you're out. 10th generation, curse on you. for not helping my people. And they didn't provide food, and they even called down a curse. That's where we get the story of Balaam. You know, they tried to call down a curse on them, and God changes that up and turns the curse into a blessing. But they were out. Moab was excluded. But where does Naomi and her family, where do they move into? They still took in these Moabites, these idol worshipers, those that were excluded from the Lord's people. See, they still, Orpha and Ruth were still in that land, and they still had their God. They had not chosen, but yet Naomi was still saying, you belong to me, you belong to my people, I do want you to, but it's on you. It's on you. See, she turns to Orpha, and Orpha decides, I'm going back. Orpha kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. And Naomi turns to Ruth and says, hey, look, your sister is going back to her people and her gods, because she hasn't left them yet. We've been living this way, and I hope that my influence will change some of that. Well, you will come to that knowledge, but yet you're still here, and that's still going on. The presence of the other gods, the other ways of living, did not hinder Naomi's love and kindness towards them. What did she do to those who were of the group that were strictly excluded? She loved them and let the work of the Spirit of God transform them. She, by living out her faith and proclaiming the truth about God among them, she trusted in the power of the Spirit to convict their hearts. And she allowed the only one who can change them to do the work. She presented them to the only one who had the power to forgive their sin problem. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul addresses some of this. He says, when he's talking about Christians that have some sin problems, maybe those that maybe seem to be excluded, do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Paul is addressing those who have been invited into relationship with Christians, those who have been invited into the church, those who have been loved and cared for by the church as they were, imitating into a relationship with God. But those who had given themselves, who had been changed, those who were that, who then were sanctified and justified, those who have been washed by Jesus in the Holy Spirit. How would those have been saved? How would they have been brought unless they had been loved and cared for to allow them to accept, to have the best opportunity for them to know Jesus? And what a better place to know Jesus than in the life of a believer around them, in the life of a community around them, in the life of a church around them that is pointing to God so that they could see that and turn to Him. Jesus also addresses this. He addresses it in a parable. In Matthew 21, 28, 32. See, what do you think? There's a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, I will, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. Tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. Tax collectors and prostitutes shown the way, invited in, they repented. They believed, and they entered into the kingdom. Because they were loved, they were said, you belong to me. They were invited into the community to allow God's Spirit to work on them, for them to accept Jesus as Lord, to then turn away, to repent, to turn away from that life. Naomi loved these Moabite women. She lived it out. She did not require them as a prerequisite to change. She allows God to do the changing. And Naomi then lets them choose. She lets them choose. Orpha chooses not. And Ruth, don't urge me. Don't urge me any longer. She said, I believe Naomi was telling her all along, you belong to me, my people, my community. You belong to God, and it's your choice. She provided them the best opportunity. It even let them have a way out. And when Naomi, and when Ruth says, don't urge me, she said, I will not make you. I will not make you, Orpha. Because she understood that she couldn't save them. Only God could save. She couldn't change them. Only God could change them. But what I can do is I can love. And I will love. And I'll keep loving. Regardless of what happens in my life. Regardless of a famine or death or separation or my son's choosing what God suggested not to choose. God commanded not to choose. I will keep loving. I'll keep living. This always tell you, you belong to me. You belong to this community. You belong to God. And as a result of Naomi's love towards an outsider, this widowed, impoverished alien woman became a follower of God. And we'll look at the end of the story. Ruth chapter 4. 13. So she finds a husband in the land of Israel. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The woman said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. In verse 16, then Naomi took the child, laid him in her lap, and cared for him. The woman living there said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Are you like Naomi? Are you living a life of love towards others? Towards the alien, the outsider, the idolater, the sexually immoral, the liar, the thief, the gossip, the other? Willing to say, you belong to me, you can belong to my community, you can belong to God. The God who is God over all nations and all tribes. The God who is already in all those nations and already in all those lives, working to the redemption of all people. When Elimelech and Naomi show up in Moab, God was already there. God was already there. He was there pleading and ready for their redemption. When you show up in people's lives, God is already there. Naomi knew God was already working on Orpha and Ruth. God was there. Or is that a struggle for us? And yes, it can be a struggle. What is the struggle with showing that love to others? Or are you like Ruth? Maybe say, I'm the alien. I'm the one outside. Well, this is good news. God loves you. You're loved. And this community loves you. And God loves you. You are invited into this people, this community, and you're invited into God. Naomi understood that she could not change Ruth's lifestyle. Only God could. But she knew it would happen by living in community with God and His people. What did Naomi do? She loved. She cared for Ruth in her brokenness, in her grief and loss of a husband. She cared for Ruth and Orpha in consideration of their background, of where they came from. No one is just because. We came from somewhere and something and some family and some background. That reason why we are living the way we are. And she did not. She considered that background. And Ruth didn't choose that she was born into a Moabite family. one that did not know the rightful one and only true God. It wasn't her choice where she was born. And Naomi considered that. Her brokenness, her background, and Naomi was patient and allowed her to choose. For her to choose to come down and to cast her burdens in her life onto the Lord. Saying, no, your God is my God. What was it to Naomi when Orpah walked away? It didn't change anything about God or God's desire to save. And what was it to Naomi when Ruth obeyed? It was the power and work of God alone. It was the praise and glory of Him alone for God's purpose and goodwill. The Lord desires for all men and women to be saved, to come to repentance, to cast burdens onto Jesus and be saved and to be washed clean by the one and only who can take away the sin problems. Come to this morning and make that confession of Ruth, if that is your confession, to say, God, you are my God. You are my Lord, and you are my Savior. Or to make the confession of Naomi this morning and say, God, help me to show love and kindness, to invite people into me, into my community, and to you. So whatever your confession is this morning, of Ruth or Naomi, of love, of response, let that be known this morning as we stand and sing.